Hi, my name is Hiab.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to another episode of Checkmate Your Life. Welcome to another Tuesday topic. And for today's Tuesday topic, we're going to be kind of delving a little more into my checkmate, which is education through public health. And we're going to start that, we're going to, you know, kick that off by going a little deeper into public health. So, Nathan?
Yeah, so since we have learned from your story that you got interested into the whole public health scene and more specifically epidemiology through the Ebola pandemic that happened in 2016, now that we have the coronavirus pandemic that's a little more widespread and affecting everyone personally, I was just wondering if you had any updates or any insights into the COVID scene, like, as of today.
So I don't necessarily know if there's any updates, I would say, per se, because, you know, at this point, we're aware of the fact that vaccines are available for COVID. We're aware of Pfizer, we're aware of Moderna, we're aware of the Oxford AstraZeneca, we're aware of, like, Johnson & Johnson. You know, we're aware of quite a few different types of vaccines, you know, mainly the main finding being that, you know, Pfizer and Moderna rely on mRNA, which is essentially, you know, a better, like a more enhanced form of teaching us to fight, you know, COVID, for better lack of a term. But I mean, a lot of my digging into COVID stems from, you know, the early days of the pandemic. So understanding, all right, how does the virus enter our body? You know, like, what is the structure of the virus? You know, understanding that the virus has a number of different proteins, and how we're infected, you know, comes from the viral S or spike protein. And you know, the spike protein, you know, it enters through binding to ACE2, and that's, you know, involved in the renin-angiotensin system. It's been a while since I've, you know, looked at that, but that's more from a physiology standpoint, and so, you know, just things of that nature. Understanding, you know, like, I remember I was reading the papers early on where they were saying, oh, blood type may play a factor in terms of who is more likely to catch COVID, who is less likely. Were the findings that conclusive? Not really. And then, you know, I was doing a lot of something that really fascinated me, I would say, near the end of 2020. Was in relation to public policy and COVID. So there were papers, you know, that were talking about, you know, the effects of ventilation and, like, you know, how better ventilated places offered some level of protection, or, you know, were just better for indoor gathering. So I was just curious to, you know, just learn more about that. And, you know, if that's the case, like, I was very curious to understand, okay, what is the data, or what is the science guiding our policy decisions in regards to COVID? Like, for example, you know, in terms of slowly reopening, you know, certain stores and venues can open at quarter capacity. Some can open at, you know, half capacity and slowly work their way up, you know, depending on how the spread of the virus is going. You know, if the rates of transmission are low, you know, we can slowly work our way back up. But, you know, if transmission rates of COVID remain high or increase, then we have to rethink how we, you know, reopen. And so with that in mind, I was kind of curious. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, could the potential findings of, you know, ventilation in relation to COVID-19 impact, you know, public policy decision to say, or public policy decisions to say, this venue could start opening back up at quarter capacity or half capacity, you know, and then if they meet certain criteria, we can bump them up to the next level. Maybe instead of quarter capacity, you know, you're at third capacity or half capacity or something along those lines. And that was really where my main interest was in relation to COVID. Do I have any updates? No. But that's personally where I'm at this moment.
Okay. So how like findings guide the public policy, right?
Yes.
Do you have any of your own theories to why, like how the policy was kind of presented to us?
So I'm not really sure per se, because you know there could be a number of different factors that play a role. If I had to take a guess, I don't even know if I could honestly give you a guess at this moment. Because the way I'm looking at it, right, like, you know, or something that I'm curious to see is, you know, could ventilation, you know, better ventilated, less ventilated places, like, I'm sure it's a lot of, like, predictive statistics that go into it. Do I know any of that? No. So.
Okay. So what are your, so how do you, like, how do you want to lead public policy then?
Lead?
How would you ideally conduct the public policy?
I mean, that would involve me having a lot of knowledge that I don't have at the moment. You know, because to conduct public policy or to make effective public policy, I kind of need a lot more data than I currently have at the moment to say, okay, yo, stores can open at, you know, this capacity. Stores can open at, you know, outdoor venues can open at this capacity. In regards to the weather, you know, this type of distance is optimal. This type of distance isn't. Things like that. Because it's like, you know, when you're outdoors, 6 feet apart, you know, with masks is all right. But if you're indoors, a lot closer quarters, it's kind of hard to social distance at that point in time. And then there's, you know, some findings that say, hey, the virus could potentially spread out more than 6 feet apart. So what does that mean? So is it 6 feet? Is it not? You know, is it 6 feet outdoors and then maybe further apart indoors? Like, who knows?
Okay, so then what's your goal in the whole, like, in that ventilation aspect? Is your goal to, like, figure out what the real distance is? Or, like,
so
what makes you so interested in that space?
So within that space, what made me interested was, you know, they were saying that, like, ventilation, you know, could help in terms or minimize or, you know, ventilation could help, could impact the rate of transfusion or the amount of, not transfusion, rather transmission of the virus. And so I was interested in that because I was curious to see how that impacts the rate of transmission. And what does that mean for public policy decisions, right? So if it turns out that better ventilated places, you know, help combat the rate of transmission of the virus, does that mean that stores need to start opening at quarter capacity or could they open at higher capacities? Does that mean that, you know, 6 feet of distance from each other with masks is effective, or does that mean, you know, we still need to be further indoor, you know, further apart indoors than 6 feet? It's one instance of how, you know, epidemiological research and findings can drive our policy decisions, and that's what I'm interested in when it comes to public health. You know, how are the things that we're studying in epidemiology, how do they impact our political decision-making? How do they impact, you know, the advice that's given by public health experts, you know?
Okay, so you're looking at, like, the link between finding the data and presenting the solution.
Yes.
Rather than solely trying to obtain the data or solely presenting the solution.
Correct.
Okay, so would you be, I don't know how to word this then, because that's like, because then what? How do your goals fit within that, like, region? You know what I mean? Because, like, if you're trying to, so you're, like, trying to interpret the data, is that accurate?
I think it's more than, you know, interpret the data. Interpreting the data is part of that, but I think it's broader, it's wider than that. You know, in addition to interpreting it, it's communicating that and communicating that effectively. That way, you know, people are better able to understand, you know, why certain policy recommendations are set about, right? Why do we have 6 feet of social distancing? You know, why is social distancing so important?
Okay, so I can see the application in the COVID context, but then how would you want to apply that in other, like, contexts?
So I think the concept is similar, you know. Understand the epidemiology and understanding how the findings, epidemiological findings from any virus, impact our policy decisions. You know, that's not unique to COVID, right? You know, you could apply that to Ebola, right? So, you know, people were panicked in the United States, and we hear, you know, Ebola is a deadly virus. But the thing is, when we think about that, because it's so deadly, it's harder for the virus itself to spread. Because the virus itself ends up killing its host. So how can it won't actually transmit, you know, from person to person. Or if it does, it does so at a significantly lower rate compared to something like COVID, which isn't as lethal. COVID is still dangerous. COVID is arguably more dangerous because it enabled, like, even though it's not as lethal as Ebola, it'll spread, you know, like COVID is significantly more contagious than Ebola. And so that means that a lot more people are going to get it. And, you know, as a result, you know, maybe more people die from Ebola than COVID. Maybe we don't, but either way, more people are going to be suffering from COVID than Ebola because COVID is more contagious. Kind of forgot where I was going with that.
I was just asking, like, how you could apply, like, being the link between the data and policy.
Right. So when you understand the epidemiology, the findings, you're in a better position where you can say, all right, based off of these findings, based off of our understanding, this is how we can best, you know, move forward as a society, but also protect people within it or minimize the spread, right? So that's kind of, you know, when you think about it, what can we do as a society to protect ourselves from you know, a new deadly virus when, one, we don't know much about it, and second, there's no known treatment? That's where social distancing comes into play. That's where quarantining comes into play. And factors like that become effective because we don't know anything, you know, and these are temporary measures that we need to implement to give us time to better combat the virus. So,
okay, I see. I got you. So it's not like a quantifiable kind of thing, right?
No.
It's like, it's just, it kind of, like, morphs and adapts to each unique scenario.
Right.
Okay.
It's more qualitative than quantitative.
Okay, gotcha. That makes a lot more sense.
So, with that in mind, thank you guys for tuning in again to another Tuesday topic. My name is Hiob.
And I'm Nathan.
If you guys have any questions, comments, things you want to hear us discuss, DM us on our page on IG, Checkmate Your Life, which is all one word, or you can DM me personally at Hiob_Hirui.
or me at Nathan Salvong.
You can also inbox us on TikTok at Checkmate Your Life, which is all one word. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Take care and have a good night.
See you next time.